over Baghdad has been illuminated. We're seeing bright flashes going on all over the sky.
Welcome to Radio Contra, the podcast of American Partisan and the home of the boys who are always down to boogaloo. I'm your host, NC Scout, coming to you live from the G Camp in rural northern North Carolina. And we're still under quarantine. Or are we? Some folks are. And if you are, maintaining all those healthy social distancing practices, that's great. Me? Well, like I said in the last one, this is business as usual. And I'm going to continue training people. And I'm going to continue training myself. And I'm going to continue doing all the things that I was doing before. Why? Because it's critically important. That's why. What's coming next? Got some serious questions concerning a lot. What does the future hold for the United States? We've already seen that the left is more than willing to take advantage of the situation. We're seeing big tech, specifically Google, step in and make some very interesting moves, censorship-wise. I don't believe it's ever been more blatant than it is now, but I was reading something that a good friend and a guy who knows a whole lot about a whole lot sent me regarding YouTube specifically, and how the YouTube execs were planning on removing any video that questioned the World Health Organization or the WHO's official assessments on Wu flu, China syndrome, COVID-19, bat flu, whatever you want to call it. I've come to call it the China syndrome. And man, that really begs the question of why a lot of you keep feeding this same machine over and over. Perfect example. I've had a lot of folks send me emails asking, comments, so on and so forth. If we, meaning American Partisan, myself, would be putting this podcast up on other platforms such as YouTube, iTunes, etc. And I'm not saying that that is out of the cards. However, what I will say is that when you move and migrate away from being self-owned and self-run, you run the risk of also being shut down. And while we have no shortage of attackers coming after us on a daily basis, we don't really run the risk of being censored here. Which is something we absolutely would have a problem with on YouTube. And something I think that we would probably, truthfully speaking, we would have less of an issue with on iTunes. But you never know. You never know. And I would really hate for one day everybody that listens to us, this very loyal listenership that we have built, and readership that we have built, to all of a sudden not be able to find us on popular outlets when they've always been able to find us here. So it's kind of its own thing. But when we see big tech, specifically YouTube, saying anything that questions the World Health Organization is going to be shut down, well, how do you define that? Man, it's fairly broad as far as I'm concerned. And the World Health Organization's already been caught lying. I mean, they were lying from the get-go, and not only were they lying, but it was proven that they were receiving money from the Chinese government to cover all this stuff up and to lie about the official numbers. So with that said, it's disturbing, and it's one more reason that I don't rely on or use the major outlets, because they're controlled. They're controlled, and we are not. Anyway, with that said, there's been a number of protests too in just the week since the last episode of Radio Contra. There's been a bunch of protests of good folks out there who are really feeling the economic pinch of all the shutdowns and really wanting their businesses open back up. They want their freedom. Look, the numbers do not support all of the measures that have been taken. All right, and I know for myself, I caught a lot of flack. I caught a lot of flack from a couple of AP writers for running some pieces that were passed to me that were just numbers projections. And the numbers did look fairly severe. That was if we had done nothing. If we had sat back and done nothing, yes, these would be the numbers, right? But we didn't just sit back and do nothing. And not only that, it did not take into account the medicines that we have, the fact that we do in the United States have a very healthy population, despite what you may be told in a lot of left-wing media outlets about how all Americans are obese and whatnot. We have a very healthy population for the most part. We have an aging population. That much is true. But we do have a very healthy population. So with that said, there's a lot of protests of people that the economic consequences are harming them, right? So this thing has really not morphed into the big extinction level event that people were afraid of it becoming. And we have a lot of data out there on the virus. It's kind of lost its mystique as this big killer event when, according to the numbers, we have a pretty serious number of people that recover from it and a not-so-serious number that are dying. Basically, the way I see it is that the mortality rate from this disease is essentially the same as someone who would die from pretty much anything else. Right now, it's between a 0.1% and a 0.20%, which is fairly low. And of course, you know, the naysayers are going to say what they're going to say. But what I will say is that it did not warrant all of the economic ramifications to which we are now having to deal with. Right? And so there's been a bunch of protests to open everything up. Well, the funny thing about that is that a lot of the protests are ostensibly pro-Trump, pro-freedom, waving the flag. These folks are patriotic, and it is very good to see that. What's a shame to see that I first noted last week, I don't watch a lot of news, but when I do, I watch OAN, or One America News Network. And I noticed in Denver that there was a number of counter-protesters that, interestingly enough, were wearing scrubs and masks. I noticed the same thing here in North Carolina. There was a fairly, it was a good-sized rally in Raleigh for opening the state back up, protesting against our Democrat and deeply corrupt governor, Roy Cooper. Roy Cooper presided over the State Bureau of Investigation's crime lab that mishandled large numbers of evidence and wrongly convicted a lot of folks. But all that aside, protests were being had to open the state back up. These measures are pretty much unwarranted. And it was a counter-protest. I noticed that there was a lot of these young folks running around in scrubs and masks and calling themselves health care workers. Mm-hmm. Huh. Well, I'm not here to debate whether they're actually healthcare workers or not, but what I will say is that I got some friends that work in the healthcare industry that are fairly senior level members in healthcare industry in different parts of the state here in North Carolina, and they're all saying this is a giant nothing. Even in the areas that are statistically, according to the numbers, that look the scariest, it's still pretty much a big nothing. And what it's also leading to is a lot of people not going to the doctor for other things out of fear. Right? So my question is when these little young millennials and maybe a little bit younger are getting out there with scrubs and PPE on and calling themselves healthcare workers, protesting the people who are protesting to open the state back up, if the situation was that dire, why the hell aren't you in a place treating somebody? Oh, that's right, you're not. Huh. How about that? Why are you out there wasting precious PPE instead of being out there protesting people? Why is that? Why is it that we can have these young people getting on TikTok crying, "Oh, my day is so shitty," when you work as a nurse in an ER, you're an emergency room nurse, you're an ICU nurse, every day is shitty for you. It should be business as usual. And to the genuine people that I know that work in that field, that's exactly what they're saying. So why are you making a big deal out of it? Get back in there and do your job. But you can't. You can't because you're letting politics and your own politics get in the way of you doing your job. Never let a good crisis go to waste. It's not about a virus for these people. It is not about a virus for these people. It is about control. So, anyway, call me jaded, but whenever I see some young millennial get on there and tell me about how shitty her day was on TikTok wearing her PPE, and I know what she actually does for a living, I'm not really sympathetic. And I'm not impressed. And I don't feel bad for you. You get paid very well for your efforts. You knew what you were getting into. It's part of your job. You took an oath. Right? Or is that something you just told soldiers and veterans when the shoe was on the other foot? Yeah, that's what I think. Because I've heard that one before, too. Anyway, moving on. Open it back up. So here's a word from sponsor, Palmetto State Armory. I'm sitting here working with a brand new AKP, one of their AK pistols. And man, this thing really takes the AK and it brings it into the 21st century. For all you folks who are saying, "Nyet, the rifle is fine. We don't need M-lock handguards. We don't need M4 buttstock / arm brakes. We don't need all that stuff." Sorry to disappoint you, but this thing is awesome. And you're going to be seeing a lot more of that in the coming days. But Palmetto State Armory, man, not only that, all the weapons that I have from them, which I have purchased, all the weapons that I have from them continue to perform absolutely flawlessly. I've taught every class that I teach with them, using them, running them, getting them dirty, running them into the dirt, letting students run them. And whether it's an AK or whether it's an AR, these things just work. For the prices that they are selling them at, they manufacture it all in-house. Hey, you know, and U.S.-made AKs have caught a lot of flack in the past, and deservedly so. But I think Palmetto State Armory, at least from what I have seen with my own two eyes and being a trigger puller and being an AK enthusiast for a little over two decades now, man, these guns are nice and they just run. So don't miss out, you know, don't say, well, you know, I'm only getting foreign made AKs, you know, because of whatever reason. I'm telling you, you are not going to be disappointed. You are not going to be disappointed. So check them out. And on top of that AKP, I have a Primary Arms Mini Red Dot. It's, you know, the same form factor as Aimpoint T1. Got that thing on top. Nice, compact package. You want to talk about a good optic right in, you know, the sub $200 range. Good red dot, man. Holds zero. These are definitely not chintzy optics. And it holds up just like the other optics that I have from Primary Arms. Holds up just the same as those. I'm a fan, and so far this thing has done everything that I have wanted to do with it, as well as the other optics that I've got from Primary Arms. So check them out as well. And of course, the mags that I have that I'm running for the testing of this AKP all came from Gun Mag Warehouse. So you never, ever, ever have enough mags. What I teach in class, in carbine class and scout course, is that magazines, while they are precious items, because we don't want to just be dropping mags all over everywhere, right? They're also not worth our life. So as a starting point, you need to have a good supply of mags. Some people say at least 10 per weapon. Well, I say if you're going to get 10, you might as well get 20 per weapon, right? Get them now. Get them now while you can. Get them now while the times are still relatively good. Everybody was scared that the delivery trucks, UPS, FedEx, so on and so forth, was going to shut down. They ain't shut down yet. Get what you need while you can. And American Parsons got a new affiliate. I am proud to say a company called Freedom Fatigues. And I noticed these guys, they reached out to us and man, this is really cool. They make really cool t-shirt designs for guys, gals. They've got hoodies. They've got some other clothes. What I thought was really awesome is not only are they veteran, LEO and first responder owned, but they make a donation to different advocacy groups for veterans to prevent suicide. 22 a day is real. And I thought that that was a really cool thing that they do. And it's not something that they do from a sales point. They're not trying to sell you on that idea. They're just stating up front that this is something that they are passionate about. And I think that's awesome. But not only that, these guys, they are coming from the land, the home of Ford Trucks, the Motor City Madman, Ted Nugent himself, and Motown Records. That's right, the Motor City, Detroit. Detroit, you know, I've known a lot of good guys coming up from Michigan and that I served in the Army with, and I think that that is really cool that these guys are doing good work. So check them out, Freedom Fatigues, and I will have a link down below. So let's talk about a topic that I've had a few emails on. I had a Patreon comment a few weeks ago, and it centered around bartering, kind of the idea of bartering. And this is a topic that you see a lot in the prepping world. You see a lot of people talking about bartering and kind of their own ideas on it. And just like everything in the prepper world, you kind of take the good with the bad, kind of chew up the meat, spit out the bones and whatnot. And there's a lot of real misunderstood stuff. The first thing is, the first rule of thumb, I'll say, never, ever, ever barter tools. Never, ever, ever. Unless you are a blacksmith and can replace your tools, never barter your tools. The same is true with ammunition. Never barter ammunition. All right? I don't know where this idea comes from. We barter skills, not material. Right? And you never barter anything that you have a finite supply of. All right? Ammunition, you have a finite supply of it. So you folks out there that are saying, oh, but I reload of this. You still have a finite supply of powder. You have a finite supply of primers and projectiles. I mean, you don't ever barter things that you have a supply of. It's just silly. Or you don't have an infinite supply of. All right? It's silly. You barter renewable resources. You barter skills. You don't barter tools. It's just that simple. I read somewhere, I don't remember where it was. I think it was in one of the prepper fiction books that, you know, I didn't necessarily give up on as a genre, but I definitely don't really read it much or pay much mind to it. I think it was one of Buckshot Hemming's books, but basically people were saying, you know, oh, two of this caliber, two bullets in this caliber equals one of that caliber or something or another, some sort of as a trade medium. Yeah, no, that one don't fly. Because first of all, when you're talking about bartering, you're talking about supplying something for something in lieu of money, right? So that precludes this thing called the labor theory of value. Basically, I have a skill and I'm willing to apply that skill for some sort of tangible end, meaning a product, in exchange for something I need from you, right? If you and I are bartering something, you know, and the advantage always is in the hands of the person that you're trying to barter with. Because obviously they have a product that you are interested in. You have some sort of need. And if you're in a bartering economy or you're finding yourself bartering for something, chances are very high. Number one, it's something that's a critical item. All right, it's food. It's some sort of service you need, like a medical care or something like that. Right, mechanics skills, something serious, right, that you can't afford otherwise. So you are finding yourself bartering something for it, right? You never, ever want to trade tools for that. You trade one service for another. That is the central idea behind it. And with a labor theory of value, basically you're placing an exact price on your labor, right? You are getting something in terms of a return service for your labor or return material for your labor, but you're not getting any more. You're not getting a surplus for it, right? Whereas with monetary theory, there's always a surplus of goods out there. There's always something extra. You know, I'm going to sell my product. So say I'm a blacksmith, right? I'm going to use the material that I have, the steel, pig iron, and I'm going to make tools with it and whatnot, using my skills as a blacksmith, and I will sell it to you, right? That is monetary theory, and I will profit off of that. And if I'm good enough at it, and I expand my business, then I'm going to make a lot of profit off of it. Well, that's the whole idea behind capitalism and modern monetary theory and whatnot in a nutshell, and I'm grossly oversimplifying it. But with labor theory of value, well, you come to me and you need a hammer, for example, and I'm a blacksmith. Well, I now name my price as far as what my hammer or what your hammer that you want is worth, right? And so you say, well, you need a hammer for this, that, and the other. And I know that you are in need, right? So I'm going to say, okay, well, what skills do you have? Okay, you raise chickens. Well, all right. I want a dozen eggs, and I will make you a hammer. That's how you barter. Plain and simple. And the bartering economy is still alive and well here in rural parts of the United States and throughout most of the third world. I remember when I was in Afghanistan, you know, you could get a goat for trading just about anything. Anything that the farmer himself needed. It could just be protection. You know, a lot of times we would go to a village, and if they were friendly to Americans, we'd make contact with them. Yeah, we'll protect your village for a few days. You know, we're going to be here operating in this valley anyway. Yeah, we'll post up, protect your village. Yeah, give us some goats. You know, partly as being an honored guest, you know, but also because we're providing him with some protection. You know, and that's just the way it goes. You have to understand that in a bartering economy, I have to need something, right? I have to need something. And there's a reason that everybody's bartering. It's because money and, you know, whatever currency means is no longer in existence or no longer has any value, right? You know, and so let's circle back. You never, ever, ever want to barter tools. The only people that you will ever find bartering tools are the ones who have either stolen the tools and don't need it, or they're the ones who have broken their tools and they're just trying to get rid of them. All right. So if you go in a pawn shop, I don't think anybody would want to get, you know, a chainsaw, for example, from a pawn shop, because it's probably had the crap beat out of it. It's probably been run dry one too many times, and, you know, chainsaws, automatic oilers and all that. It's probably been run dry one too many times, and it's not worth the effort, right? Think of pawn shops as a type of barter economy. You're never going to get the value for your product out of it, are you? Nope, you sure aren't. And whatever you think that it's worth, you ain't gonna get that back. So, with that said, that's kind of how you need to think about a barter economy. It's not really a fun place to be in, but at the same time, hey, make sure that you have a skill. And that's about the best way that I can put it. Trading ammunition, that's stupid. Trading tools, that's stupid too. You're going to end up running out of it. Anything that you have a finite supply of, you probably want to hold on to. And of course, that begs the question of what skills do you bring to the table? So, one thing I'd like to point out is that we are always looking for new contributors. I've had a lot of people that have sent me stuff. They've asked me, you know, if I'd be interested in, you know, kind of opening the floor up to other writers. And hey, let me put it like this. American Partisan is, a site that I primarily write for. And, I have my Brush Feeder blog as well, but I contribute the most to American Partisan, but we got other contributors too. And I would love to hear from you because, you know, perspectives out there on a number of things are a dime a dozen, and mine is mine. And I would love, absolutely love to hear yours. We are the fastest growing site of its kind on the internet. And I like to take pride in the fact that we offer the most diverse content of any prepping site in the survivalist genre out there. And I would like to hear from you. I learn stuff. I learn stuff all the time. Every time I teach a class, I'm learning something. Every time I interact with people in public and get that opportunity, I'm having a heck of a lot of fun doing that. And I learned stuff. You know, I don't necessarily know everything. You know, there's the Camo stuff. I'm always learning new things. And when it comes to a lot of other stuff, I'm learning all the time, man. And I would love to hear from you too. So if you have that article you've been sitting on, or maybe, you know, wondering about, you know, maybe I'd like to open that door and write a little bit, shoot me an email, man. Brushbeater@tutanota.com. I would love to hear from you and read what you have. And even if you want to promote your blog, or you got a website that you're building and you want to promote that too, and I think that you've got a pretty cool thing going on, hey man, I'm here to spread the word for you. You know, consider it done. And with that said, let's take a quick look at the training calendar. So this weekend coming up, I've got a signals intelligence course out with Ready Made Resources, Bob Griswold, out at his place in Tennessee. It's a little late now for anybody to register for the course, but if you are in the area in Far East Tennessee and you're wanting to come out, it's $300, two-day course. I think that everybody coming out, it's pretty much full. But if you're interested, shoot me an email and we'll link up, man. It's a good laid-back course, but I think that you will get a whole lot out of it, especially kind of the other side of the coin when it comes to Camo. Why ComSec communication security is very important, as well as how to exploit that when your adversary is not. And I think that you'll get a heck of a lot out of it. Got a scout course coming up 8th through the 10th of May at my training site here in North Carolina, $400, right? If you want to shoot out to 500 meters, get those first round hits, that's day one. If you want to be snooping, pooping, small unit tactics, learn how to move unheard, to stalk and raid, ambush and evade. That's the scout course, moving undetected. Got the readout communications course, which is full in June, the 9th through the 14th. But if you didn't get in on that, I've got another one coming up the 15th through the 20th of September. It is out in Wyoming. You're going to want all three of those classes put together. There's going to be a nice flow to it all. If you take the RTO course, you've been to the RTO course, you'll have the advanced RTO course and the signals intelligence class all put together. All three, 1 week, $800. I'm traveling out there. I'm going to bring it to you. You're going to get to meet a lot of like-minded folks. I think that you're really, really going to get a lot out of the course. I haven't had anybody disappointed yet. RTO and advanced RTO, 25 through 28 June in Wisconsin, $600 for both classes. That one is about 80% full. And if you are in Wisconsin, Michigan, Iowa, the Dakotas, that area, hey, I am bringing this course out to you. All right. After that, fighting carbine, both day and night. You do not need to have night vision for the night portions. If you don't have night vision, you can use mine. If you don't have an IR laser on your weapon, again, you can use mine. I set my courses up so that if you have nothing, you can literally come to a class with nothing, with minimal equipment, and you will learn everything that you need and nothing that you don't. All right. You're going to learn the principles of fighting with a carbine both day and night, how that's going to change. And that is on the 11th and the 12th of July here in North Carolina. After that, got another RTO course, 1st and 2nd of August. The RTO course is designed on creating communications infrastructure where there otherwise would be none. And I just taught one last weekend, absolutely rocked the house, had a full class. It's just a great time. It's a laid back environment. You don't need to have any previous communications knowledge, and take really complicated concepts and break them down into simple terms so that basically anyone of any skill level can get something out of it. We've got a tracking course, 14th, 16th of August, taught by my very good friend, certified wilderness tracker. He's been to a lot of classes on this. He's got certifications. He used to teach this professionally to government agencies. And because we're good friends, he is bringing this class to you. That's Holy Surface teaching. It is 14th through the 16th of August here at my training site in North Carolina. I've got a Kalashnikov class, Fighting Kalashnikov. You're going to be hearing a lot more about that in the coming days as well, the coming weeks. And, you know, I'm a big fan of the Kalashnikov, and I don't really know of a lot of classes out there that is dedicated specifically to it that are currently taught. But I made one for it, all right? 29th through the 30th of August here in North Carolina. And then, of course, we've got another scout course, 4th, 6th September. This one is just about full. I think I've got two slots left in it. So, again, if you're looking to run around in the woods and learn how to do SUT from a slightly different perspective of being the hunter, not the hunted, come on out. Pay me a visit, and you will get a training experience like none other. Folks, with all that said, things are moving quickly in the world. It's easy to get dialed in on this COVID-19 stuff, China syndrome, whatever you want to call it. But I'm going to ask you again, just as I asked you at the beginning of the episode, what comes next? Because there's going to be something that happens next. Don't take your eye off of what's going on right now and not pay attention to what's going on in the future. All right? A lot of pieces are moving in the world. While everybody is paying attention to what goes on with this virus, a lot of pieces are moving here in the United States while everyone is paying attention to this virus. And a lot of your civil liberties and freedoms are constantly under attack. And I say that they're in even more danger today than they were yesterday or a month ago or 6 months ago. Don't lose sight of it, folks. Do not lose sight of it. And with that said, stay healthy, stay sane, and I'll talk to you next week.